Welcome back to the show. Joe Stasiak in the house till 4 o'clock. 10 minutes with Tolly coming up in about 10 minutes. Is baseball invalid because of the 60-game season and because of that ridiculous rule where in every half inning, in extra innings, each team will start with a man on second base? I think it is. Tyler thinks it is. And also, are these championships invalid because of these restarts and how much time they've had off and the no fans and starting the season with the playoffs like the NHL is doing, or eight games of the regular season left to be played in the NBA with teams that shouldn't be there? What are your thoughts on the validity of these restarts? Let's go to Mike in Norristown. You're on 97.5 The Athletic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
So, in terms of the NBA and the NHL, they're making the best of a bad situation to try to finish a season that got interrupted. And as much as, you know, it is invalidated to some sense because everybody got this break and anybody that was injured and, you know, obviously with the NHL just picking up with the playoffs, but they're at least trying to pick up where they left off and make some semblance. So they, in my opinion, get a pass. Baseball is completely invalidated. And at this point, they shouldn't even have a season. I don't think any records are going to be set this season, I mean, obviously, but any of the awards that are awarded at the end of the year, they're invalid. It's for 60 games. Any of the, who's ever the World Series champion, it's a 60 game. How do you even call somebody a World Series champion in a 60-game season? It's so invalid, and it's going to get even more invalidated because I think, like you had mentioned, there is a strong likelihood that at some point a star player, several star players, bulks of teams are going to be quarantined for 2 weeks at a time. So then you're taking the best players out of the game, or any players out of the game, replacing them with guys who would probably be bagging groceries at this point, you know, in the season, and then saying, but these, you know, these are champions. It's just, if you can't have some semblance of a real season, in my point, like baseball, you couldn't get it off the ground, and you were hamstrung by COVID. I get it, but just call it a wash. You know, the NBA and NHL, I think they're going to, you know, try to do the best they can, and it is what it is, and hopefully next season everybody comes back. But, and then with baseball on top of it, adding a gimmick, like, of all things, like, it's already being questioned of if you should even play baseball this year, but you're going to add a gimmick into it at this point with the runner on second base. It's just a joke.
I agree, Mike. You know, I agree with everything you said. And so let me ask you, are you a baseball fan?
I am a baseball fan. I'm not so much a purist. I am in the camp that games are way too long as it is. I don't think putting a runner on second base is the way to speed the games up. I don't like any of the gimmicks. Like you had mentioned, I love hockey. I love three-on-three hockey. I think it's great. The shootout's a gimmick. I hate the shootout.
I do, too.
Anytime you have to throw a gimmick into
I
the
do
sport,
too. Yep.
Then you know, there's things you could do with the sport to tweak the gameplay. But when you throw in a gimmick-type thing, it cheapens it.
Will you watch baseball?
I'll watch it because if they get it off the ground, there's nothing else to watch.
Right.
I can't watch Netflix anymore. I can't watch. it's a sport to watch, but, you know, it's so invalidated that at the end of the year, let's say the Phillies, you know, pull it out and they're the World Series champion. Are we going to feel like champions around here? Are we going to go down Broad Street if they let us, I guess, with masks or parades or whatever? You can't have a 60-game season when, you know, baseball you probably know better than I have, but for the modern era has always been over at least 80 games, you know, 100 games. They say, well, we're going to do this 60-game thing and throw it out, but we'll call it a champion. If you want to call it this, if anything, should be an exhibition season. We're going to go out there. We're going to play some sports. We're going to try to make some money. We're going to put something on TV for people to watch and try to revive the American spirit, but we're not going to award a World Series champion this year. We're just not going to do it. I don't know. I just, if you're going to gimmick it up and cheapen it, then just call it what it is and start fresh next year.
Good call, Mike. I appreciate it, pal. You have a great day. I agree with everything Mike said. I'll probably watch it because there's not much else on. You know, I'll see what's up. I'll see, you know, how teams abide by the protocol and how different it's going to be. But when you cheapen it, a sport by adding gimmicks, he mentioned a good point. I hate the shootout. It doesn't tell me anything. I get you don't want to keep playing until a team scores in the regular season. You could have seven overtimes. You know, that happens sometimes in the postseason, but it has to. You know, I kind of get that. I hate the overtime loss point. I think that's ridiculous. You lose, you lose.
Thank you.
Do you agree with that?
I got in a heated argument with Pat Egan about that.
He likes it?
He likes it.
Oh, it's terrible.
And what I said is basically what you just said there is it invalidates the first 60 minutes of play to say that here's your participation point for being good enough to make it past 60 minutes.
The participation point, you're right. It's exactly right.
And what it does to me is it cheapens the standings. Because I look at it as, if you like you just said, if you lose, you lose. And what overtime means is it took you longer to lose.
Right.
You don't get in no other sport do you get a participation point for going to overtime. We watched, you know, it was over 10 years ago now, but we watched, what was it, UConn and Syracuse, or was it UConn and Louisville? The 6 overtime game with Kemba Walker.
Right.
Forget who UConn played. But it was 6 overtimes. You know what the losing team got? Nothing.
Nothing.
And that's how it should be.
That's how it should be. Again, it's like, it goes back to the whole, you know, participation trophy thing that I never could understand that they do now in schools and kindergarten.
But that's why I always look at it. And even when it benefits the Flyers, I hate it. When they say, oh, the Flyers are 6 games over 500. And it's like, no, they're not. If you look at the numbers, they're 7 games under 500 because they have 12 overtime losses. You know what I mean? Something like that.
I know.
And I'm like, if you're 30 and 10 and 10, you're 30 and 20, in my opinion. It's just how it should be.
I agree. Tyler, you're so right, man. Hey, let's go to Ray in Delaware. You're on 97.5 The Thunder. What's up, Ray? Ray?
What's going on, brothers?
How are you, man?
I'm doing good, big dog. Y'all hit it exactly on the head. It's dumb. It's stupidity. It makes no sense. How you put a runner on second base because it's extra inning? That makes no sense.
Totally agree. I think it's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick. Now, and like y'all said, you're tinkering with the game. I like baseball. But you're messing with the game. What is this? Big dog, talk to me, man.
No, I agree. They're just trying to speed up the game. And Tyler said, what was it, the World Baseball Championships? Tyler, yeah, that he said that they tried it. And he said he believes Carl Ravitch tweeted it out that it actually worked. There are other ways to speed up the game. To me, it's a gimmick, and it compromises the integrity of the game. Why should you start with a runner on second base?
Right. The integrity of the game is idiotic. So if it's extra innings, they put somebody on second base, and I can't remember his name, but he said, okay, now if somebody's on second base, all you gotta do is sacrifice bunt.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's right. Tyler agreed with you, man. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
It's sad. It's fundamentals. It's basic. 1 + 1 = 2. You put a runner on second base, he had no right to be there. He didn't earn a right to get there. He didn't swing. He didn't swing at the ball. He didn't hit the. I'm speechless.
Now, Ray, man. I totally agree with you. When I heard that, and I knew they were trying to experiment with something like that, and they mentioned it a while ago, but when they actually came out and did it, that tacked on to a 60-game season, which to me is invalid in the first place, is just, it's ridiculous. Ray, hang in there, man. I appreciate the phone call. What can I say? I get it. They're trying to speed up the game. I think there are other ways. Now, let me ask you this, Tyler. Oh, sorry. He's on the phone probably trying to get Don Tolleson. I'm a traditionalist for the most part. When things work and have worked for a long time, I don't like to tinker with them. It has been proposed that baseball should go to 7 innings. Now, I don't know where I come down on that. That would be a perfect amount of time to play a baseball game, but it's been nine innings forever. It's a nine inning game. I would almost feel cheapened that I actually was on board with that, but I almost am on board with that. But here's the thing. Baseball people, they care about records. That's why the whole steroid thing was a big deal. No one cares in football if people do steroids. No one bats an eye. But in baseball, my God, they're going to tinker with records. And where do we put an asterisk? And this guy shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, as promised, and we do this every Sunday morning, but I'm on Sunday afternoon today, 10 minutes with Tolly, my man Don Tolleson. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. Tolly, what's up, man?
How you doing on this beautiful, beautiful June Sunday? Still with no sports to watch, but although I'm a little less optimistic than a week ago, I still think that there will be actual games in a month, man, of some sort.
I do too. I have said though, Tolly, and I said this a long time ago, I don't know. I'm not confident they're all going to make it to the finish line with the way the virus is still exploding in some states. What do you think of that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think one of the most underreported indicators of that is that there are 37 Clemson football players who have tested positive for COVID. 37. And the thing that I found really perplexing was the NFL has been not full speed ahead, but moving forward with their plans for months now with the draft and free agency. And when the commissioner cancels the Hall of Fame weekend, and the worst part of that is our dear friend Hal Carmichael will have to wait another year right. for his long overdue induction. But having said that, there's really been no public indication of what was going on there. So I really do think that given what's going on nationally with what are obviously more than just spikes now, these are really, really large growth figures. There's to me great pessimism about, yeah, they'll get started. But how far will it go and will it go to conclusion in any one of the four sports that are set to resume?
Do you, there are people who said that these aren't real championships once they get coronated at the end because of the layoff and the restart and whatever. How do you feel about that? Would you put a mental asterisk next to any of these champions that come out of this thing, or is it legit?
No, I wouldn't. And here's why I wouldn't. I think given all that's going on in our country right now, and we pray every day for the victims and the families of the victims of this tragedy that is continuing, these players are going to be under enormous, enormous mental and emotional pressure. And whichever team rallies the most together to win a World Series, to win a Stanley Cup, an NBA Finals, or a Super Bowl, if we get to those points, I think they will have overcome tremendous, tremendous mental pressure. And for me, that makes what will be in some people's eyes a tainted or an asterisk championship pretty, pretty impressive. I think those will be pretty impressive champions if hopefully we do get to play those championships.
That's an excellent point. I never thought of it like that. Now, let me ask you this, because I've been talking about baseball for the last, you know, hour or so. 60-game season, that's just slightly over a third of what it normally is, and we've had some callers say it's kind of invalid, and then I mentioned the gimmick, the runner starting on second base, which I don't particularly like.
And I don't either.
In a 60-game season, is it a real season? What are your thoughts on the validity of a 60-game season in baseball?
I think it should have been much longer had there not been this enormous greed on both sides that delayed what could have been the only show in town right now, if not earlier. But here's what I have to say. A lot of us complain about how there is a lack of urgency in much of the 162-game season. these are going to be urgent baseball players if they're really motivated to help their teams win from the get-go. And you need look no further than last season to see a Washington Nationals team, which got off to a terrible start.
Yeah.
But they could gather in the clubhouse and say, hey, still got 140 left, still got 123 games left. You know, that won't happen here. So I think from a fan's perspective, it'll be really, really interesting to see urgent baseball games from opening day. But let me just address another issue about the games resuming. And I think the Daily News had one of its greatest headlines ever yesterday. Russian, R-U-S-H-I-N, apostrophe, roulette. Because of these
I love that.
Where
I love
they
their
went
headlines.
Too far, too fast. Great headlines.
I love their headlines.
And I have a lot of respect for Malcolm Jenkins on a lot of different fronts. And I respect all the players in all the sports considering their own safety issues and the safety issues of their families and all. But here's where sports are essential. I work in the recovery profession. Addiction is going up. Alcoholism is going up during these stay-at-home quarantine times. Depression is skyrocketing when you talk to professionals and all. So I think sports are at least semi-essential in helping the mental health of the fans. But also, even though there won't be people in the stands, if they come back, how about these game day employees who count on that extra money? How about all the people in ancillary businesses around the facilities who count on the employment opportunity at a time of incredible unemployment in this country? I think sports are at least semi-essential because let's get beyond the players and the managers and the multi-billionaire owners. Let's talk about the everyday blue-collar workers, like those great folks in South Philly. I have so many friends in South Philly who have game day jobs, and they walk to the stadium. They walk to the stadiums because we're the only city where all four teams play at the same location,
right?
Broad and Patterson. And so I feel for those people. But I'm encouraged. I have to be an optimist because that's just the way I've been taught to live my life and all. And I wanted, if I could, I mentioned two movies until the games start, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. Last week that everybody should watch or watch again. Remember the Titans.
Sure.
And also Glory Road. But those took place, obviously, in Virginia with Remember the Titans, and Glory Road was the story of Texas Western from El Paso. But
yeah,
those are two of the greatest sports-advancing civil rights movies. Before I let you go, or you let me go, Joe, I wish people this week would find the movie Pride. It came out, I think, around 2007. It's the story of the inner city swim coach, Jim Ellis, who started a swim team at the Marcus Foster Recreation Facility. And it was called PDR, Philadelphia Department of Recreation, named for the great educator Marcus Foster, who did so much in the Philadelphia School District, became a superintendent in Oakland, and was assassinated by the Symbionese Liberation Army. People should read the story of Marcus Foster. But Jim Ellis took a bunch of African-American kids and refused to let the critics, many of them who did it in a racially tinged way, say, oh, black kids can't be successful swimmers. And he created a swimming program that's in the movie Pride, documented in the movie Pride, that was able to win events at local, state, and national swim meets. They put a swimmer on the national team pretty early on in his tenure. The movie stars Terrence Howard as Jim Ellis, and one of my all-time favorite actors plays a great supporting role in this encouraging movie about don't tell kids they can't do something. Bernard Jeffrey McCullough, my man Bernie Mac, one of the funniest human beings ever, Joe, and he's in this movie Pride as well, and people should find it and watch it.
Tommy, let me ask you this before I let you go, because one thing I've always thought most impressive about you, and I've known you for over 30 years, you were my teacher and idol growing up. I've never met anyone as positive about life as you are. In fact, one of my friends told me one time, this was a long time ago, if I ever get to make it in the business or become a sports anchor, be like Tali, be positive, don't be negative. And even some of the trials and tribulations you've experienced lately, you seem even more positive since then. How do you stay so positive?
Well, because, first of all, I've always disliked the cliche, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Work to make the glass 99% full. Make the proverbial lemonade out of lemons. Look at your situation in life, and the mere fact that any of us got up today is a victory for positivity. And I'll leave you with a great story about how sports can teach our young people, as this movie Pride demonstrates, to believe they can do something when others tell them they cannot. I'll never forget, and you're a great father, I'll never forget at one of the first sporting events I saw my beloved 10-year-old now, Gabriella. She's going up to bat in a softball game, and I'm trying to get a decent cell phone photo. She doesn't really see, you know, I'm only like 8 feet behind her. And she's saying to herself, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Life is about encouraging other people, especially our youngsters, that regardless of race, color, or creed, or any situations you find yourself in demographically, if you work hard enough, we can all do whatever it is we're trying to do.
Fantastic, Tali. You are certainly a tremendous role model to follow, and your positivity knows no bounds. Appreciate you coming on, man. We'll do this every Sunday. Next Sunday, back to our normal time at 10:10. Of course, I'll talk to you this week, and appreciate it, buddy. Tell Heidi we said hello.
I'll do so, and God bless you, Joe. Another great show. Really enjoyed listening to you, my brother.
Thanks, Tali. You too, Bob. Talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Don Tollefson on the Comcast Business Hotline. Seriously, never met anyone as positive as Tali. The texts I get from him, the encouragement, the just I've never heard him utter like a negative word. It's I don't know how he does it, but he also knows his stuff. Broadcasting legend in this town. Had two. Most people don't have one great run in the industry. He had two. He was a pioneer with ABC, Channel 6, when I was growing up for 15 years. Added to that, do you know the sideline reporter on college football these days? Mostly females, mostly chicks. He was one of the first. There were two. The very first two sideline reporters on college football television were Jim Lampley and Don Tollefson. So he was a pioneer at that. Then he left the business to work with his charities, came back, began the Fox Morning Show, which is now a monster. And then he, you know, worked his way into the sports department, became sports director there. And just he's had some great runs, and always great to talk to him. And I'm certainly happy to be his friend and colleague. We got to take a break. Marcus Hayes coming up on the other side. He'll continue the talk. He had an article this week about how teams are going to need depth help because this virus is spreading, and a lot of teams have experienced the effect of the COVID, and it may only get worse from here. He's Tyler Zulli behind the glass. I'm Joe Stajak here till 4 o'clock on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Joe Stajak in the house till 4 o'clock. We're 97.5 The Fanatic. Beautiful day out. We just had Don Tollefson on for a good 10 minutes. 10 minutes with Tali. Our weekly segment on Sundays, usually at 10 after 10 on Sunday. Today, I switched with D. Lynam, so it was at 1:10 today. Marcus Hayes coming on momentarily. We're going to talk about his article that he wrote this week about teams needing to expand their rosters and the problem with the early starts, the early restarts, and how America is kind of a laughingstock with this whole situation. And we'll get his thoughts on what's going on, the validity of baseball and their 60-game season, the gimmicks that they're trying to implement or are implementing in terms of starting with a runner on second base in each half inning in extra innings. So, you know, I know people might be getting tired of talking about the coronavirus, but it's here. It's not getting any better. We don't have a vaccine for it. And the Daily News headline, they are so good. Russian roulette. R-U-S-H-I-N, roulette. Whoever does that, whoever does the headlines for the Daily News is just phenomenal and doesn't get paid enough. All right, on the Comcast Business Hotline, as promised, from the Philadelphia Inquirer, the great Marcus Hayes. Hello, Marcus. How are you, man?
Hey, Joe. What's going on, man?
Buddy, how you doing? Read your article. I agree with you. Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, with all the increases in the outbreaks and with the college teams and a lot of these major league franchises being in states where the coronavirus is still growing, it's a problem. Teams need to expand their rosters, but overall, in the big picture, are we irresponsible? Are we rushing this thing too much? Because I've said I don't think every team is going to make it to the finish line. I think some things are going to get worse before they get better. What are your thoughts?
I think we'll be okay. They just have to be responsible the way that we need to be responsible. I mean, the alternative before a vaccine is you just don't do anything. And other industries are restarting. And, you know, the people in question, the athletes in question, you know, they're very young and very fit, and they're going to be monitored as closely as anyone. So, I mean, I think you need to restart, but I think the athletes themselves need to be very careful, and you have to have a lot of them. I mean, it's a 2 to 6 week, lockdown, recovery, recuperation period. Yeah, that's too long to be without a player. So you need to essentially have two rosters.
But then doesn't it get kind of watered down if you have some of your stars missing time and you have some of your guys, like, you know, 30th down the list, you know, playing or starting? Does that invalidate anything?
Not to my estimation. I mean, the Eagles were down 15 guys when they won the Super Bowl, five to seven frontline players. You know, yes, it's not going to be the same. You can have a massive advantage if you are lucky and or disciplined, but I think that incentivizes discipline. You know, the column I'm writing today for tomorrow is, you know, you going to the radio station or me going to the newspaper, we have a different level of responsibility from guys who are going to be, you know, smashing up against each other. So if you're a football player or if you're a basketball player, you don't get to go to Wawa anymore. That's just it. You just don't. You don't get to go to Dunkin' Donuts. You don't get to go to a bar. You don't get to go to a restaurant. You go to work. You eat there. You drink there. You go home. That's it. That's your life for your entire season, whether it's 6 weeks or 6 months. That's how you keep the NBA or the NFL or the NHL or Major League Baseball moving. You have to sacrifice the way that soldiers sacrifice, the way that sailors sacrifice when they go on a cruise, when they leave port for a year. You know, this is not, you know, any sort of like great imprisonment. You have the, you know, and these guys that do it in the military, for example, they're not averaging $2 million a year or making $25 million a year like Tom Brady, who's the most irresponsible, arrogant, you know, and entitled jerk in the galaxy. Not only does he hold these workouts with his teammates, after the NFL and the NFLPA ask the players not to do it, he tweets, or I guess he posts on Instagram, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself."
Yeah,
let's ask Bruce Arians, a three-time cancer survivor who's 67, if he thinks that that's all we have to fear. Bruce Arians is Tom Brady's coach. Tom Brady's attitude could kill Bruce Arians.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was kind of miffed at that statement. I think he thought he was being profound. I thought it was stupid. You have a situation where, again, this thing is escalating, and whether we make it to the finish line or not, who knows? Baseball just finally agreed to a 60-game season. I know you're a baseball guy. What do you think about the validity of such a short season and some of the gimmicks that they've implemented in terms of the runner starting on second base in extra innings?
You know, I'm not a purist. I'm against the DH. I think the DH is, I think it dumbs down the game.
I do too.
It's a much more compelling game without the DH.
Yep.
But that said, I don't care. I don't care if they play seven games. You know, it's sports. You know, it's just entertainment. It's not religion. It's not, you know, nothing really is that important. Nothing we do is that important. You know, the things that we do that are important is stay healthy and raise our kids. That's it. You know, so I don't really care if there are asterisks. I don't care. You know, if a guy's a batting champion after 60 games, he's a batting champion. There's a very good possibility a guy has an undefeated season as a pitcher. Or, you know, another Brad Lidge season as a reliever. So what? You know, it's just baseball. It's nothing to get bent out of shape over. It's, the basketball restart. I would say this. It's a bigger deal to me that basketball has a restart and the hockey has a restart, because the Sixers by far are going to benefit more than any other team because every single starter was hurt or just coming off an injury. I mean,
yeah.
the reward for being durable is a higher seed and a greater likelihood that you advance to the championship. You and I agree the most important ability is durability, availability, and the Sixers were not durable. But you know, there would be a bigger asterisk for me, you know, to have a 65 to 70 game NBA season that, you know, is interrupted and then restarted because there is no penalty for not being durable.
How do you think the Sixers fare during the restart?
Oh, they could crush it. They really could. I think the key is involving Shake Milton as the point guard, as a natural point guard more frequently, and making Ben Simmons a three or a four more often. Because then you get Matisse Thybul and Al Horford coming off the bench. That's a really good bench all of a sudden. And if, you know, Mike Scott becomes a viable contributor for a 20-game stretch counting playoffs, that's a big bump. I mean, you could have a very, very good team. And there are no really good teams in the NBA this year. You know, we don't know that the Clippers or the Lakers are a really good team. But, yeah, I mean, it's a huge benefit for the Sixers over the Bucks, who I thought were kind of fraying at the seams to some degree. But, yeah, it's a big advantage for the Sixers. They could reach the finals easily.
How about the lack of fans at these games? Now, of course, the Sixers were almost invincible at home, 29-2, awful on the road, 10-24. Other teams feed off energy. I know the Bucks have a very good home record. How do you think that will affect teams positively or negatively, and namely the Sixers?
I think fans are irrelevant. I think that teams that do well at home because they're comfortable executing in their arena. The Sixers shot, I think, 5% better from three at home than on the road, and gave up, I think, 3 or 4% worse on the road than at home. I don't think the fans on the road affected their defense. I don't think the fans at home helped them shoot better. I just think they're more comfortable shooting in their arena, and I think they had a mental block when they were on the road. They didn't want to fail. I don't think they were as aggressive on the perimeter. I've never been a big believer in fan involvement. I think if you're not flying, if you're not staying in a hotel, if you're not, if you're eating hotel food or restaurant food, you're just not going to be as comfortable. You're not going to be as efficient. That's where I think the advantage lies. I talk to a lot of players about fan involvement or fan existence. A lot of them never hear the fans. I'd say half of them don't even hear the fans. And all of them, you know, this is except for football, I'd say, but all of them play and execute without fans. And you know, let's be honest. You don't know notice the fans in a baseball game until the postseason. You know, NHL fans are pretty engaged, period. But NBA fans are goofy, you know, and NFL fans, you know, they cheer for big plays. I just don't think it's that big of an advantage, except on the, you know, when you're in a stadium and you're trying to, you know, call plays, you know, you're at the line of scrimmage or whatever, there's a noise element. But I think that's diminished now too.
Marcus, we have Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. Before I let you go, bro, you said you believe that there shouldn't be a problem if everyone maintains a level of responsibility. Well, we know oftentimes, and you hear it all the time, that there are, you know, there's always a couple in a group that act irresponsibly. These are millionaire kids that probably have a hard time being cooped up for 2 or 3 months and maybe try to bend the rules a little bit. Do you see everyone in theory adhering to the rules, but do you think there'll be a lot of players, or a lot of incidents that, you know, guys break the rules, they go out, they go to a club, go to a restaurant, and they kind of put themselves and the others at risk?
It depends on kind of they have to police themselves. And so do we. You know, when we go into an establishment and somebody's not wearing a mask, I think it's incumbent upon us as much as it's incumbent upon the people who work there to say, hey, this is the policy. You're putting me at risk. You know, maybe I'm putting you at risk,
right,
for all you know. So, you know, and that's the thing that upsets me most about Tom Brady and Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox held a workout with 14 other defensive linemen,
yeah,
took a picture afterward, and everybody's hugging.
Yeah.
And the next day, Doug Peterson says, that's awesome. No, it's not awesome. You know, but Fletcher Cox, Tom Brady, and Doug Peterson are the big reason why the NFL and the NFLPA said, don't work out together, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who that's. So you not only do you have to act properly, you have to police your peers. And this is a pandemic. People are still dying. You know, the United States the United States government and the United States populace, to some degree, especially in the South and the West, have behaved abhorrently. They have been just monstrous in what they've done. And there's no excuse for it, because other places in the world aren't doing it. So this is the ugliest episode in the history of America by Americans. It's disgusting. If the athletes act the way that they should, they can change that. They can set an example for people to follow. And a lot of them will, and a lot of them do. But when guys like Tom Brady, you know, 3 days after, you know, the next day issues an Instagram post saying, I'm going to do what I want, and then 2 days after is still doing it and photographing himself and pushing antiviral supplements on his website, that's monstrous. That's sociopathic behavior.
Good stuff. Interesting stuff, pal. A lot of stuff for us to talk about the rest of the way. Appreciate you coming on, buddy. Enjoy the weather. Great stuff. We'll look for your article, the one you're writing today for tomorrow, on philly.com, as Marcus Hayes, the great writer, Inkstained Wretch, at Inkstained Wretch on Twitter, and he's a good friend of the program, good friend of the show, always comes on at a moment's notice. Appreciate it, Marcus. We'll catch up with you soon, bub.
All right, Joe. Take care.
You got it. Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. Great stuff. Got to take a break. Almost halfway through the show. He said a lot of interesting things, some good points. I want to talk about them on the other side. And what are your thoughts on terms of the validity of these restarts, particularly baseball? I like what Marcus Hayes said. He's not a purist, so he doesn't really care, which I thought was an interesting opinion. And I'll talk more about that. I'll give my opinion. We'll hear from Tyler, who is, I think, a purist. He's a big baseball guy on the other side. 610-632-0975. Joe Stasiak till 4 o'clock.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All Wow, a little Blondie from way back. It's like circa 1980. How about that? All right. That's a new bump back.
Giving you some of those summer jams.
How about that? You're right. Right. I like the summer jams. Just got back from the shore. I'm back to be, or glad to be back in the house with you. Tyler Zulu behind the glass taking your calls. Someone just called in, dropped off, tired of talking about the coronavirus. Well, it's not going away. It's affecting, you know, everything we do, how we behave in public, what we do at the grocery store, our sports teams. I mean, almost everything. You still can't go into a restaurant unless it's outdoor seating. I think that'll change soon. Again, I was just in Cape May. They just opened the stores, which gave it at least some semblance of normalcy. But it was rocking. Didn't stop people from going down. And the mall, the promenade was crowded. No one was wearing masks, really. I know we're outside. I guess that's okay. I don't know. We have to wear masks in the stores, but outside the stores. And while we were eating, well, you can't eat with the mask on, but didn't have to wear them, which was nice. Don't know how safe any of this is. Again, I do think we're rushing things a little bit with the sports restarts, although I do think there is an upside to getting sports back as quickly as possible, because I think it gives a mental boost to a lot of us. You know, there are, I mean, the amount and the number of suicides and depression cases since the quarantine has skyrocketed. And there's no sport. I mean, sports sometimes can temper, you know, your mood. Maybe if you're a little depressed, it's uplifting. It's not and you know, unless there's a catastrophic loss in the playoffs or something, there's no downside to it. It's entertaining. You know, I'll watch baseball. The thing I don't know if it's a valid season. It's 60 games. It is what it is. Fine. You know, Marcus Hayes said it. Doesn't matter. He's not a purist. I'm not really a purist either. So I'll watch it for what it is. Once the playoffs roll around, then it becomes more real. But 60 games, it's a sprint. It's not a marathon anymore. Every game really means something. So for that reason, believe it or not, you know, I like it. And again, I'm not a purist. I don't need to see 162 games. 1995, the NHL played a 48-game season. It's the year that Lindros and LeClaire broke out. It was the trade that brought LeClaire here from Montreal, and the Flyers ended up snapping a five-year playoff drought and making it to the conference finals. Devils won the Cup. No asterisks there. And if the Flyers won, no asterisks. 48-game season sprint, not a marathon. You know, I think it'll be interesting. It won't give teams that get off to slow starts time to rebound like the Nationals did last year. They won a World Series. They were 17 games under 500 after 60 games last year. Something ridiculous like that. They were on par with, I believe, the Detroit Tigers, their record at the time, and the Tigers went on to lose 114 games. Nationals won the World Series. You don't have time to turn things around this year. And maybe that'll work in the Phillies' favor because they've got off to a couple good starts the last 2 years and they collapsed. There won't be time for a collapse. So going to be interesting. I also, like Marcus, I'll watch. I don't necessarily like baseball to me. The people are too concerned about records. Records are nice to me. They're individual achievements. I really care about championships. Records are nice. They're interesting. I don't care if someone has an asterisk next to his name because he used steroids or not. Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer, you know, 15 years before he started using steroids. I know it's a black eye for baseball and whatnot, but they relished it at the time because baseball was never more popular. But anyway, I don't get caught up in that. You know, back in the day, they played 154 games. Records are records. O.J. ran for 2,000 yards in a 14-game season. It's one of the few running backs who ran for 2,000 yards, but he did it in a 14-game season. A little different than a 16-game season. Does it matter? It's a little bit more impressive, but it is what it is. It's a record.
Sports records are fluid.
Yeah.
You get your record or lack thereof based on how many games you play. It's not your fault that you played, that Adrian Peterson had an extra two games to get to 2,000. And it's also not anybody else's fault that if you had to play the extra, you know, eight games, the 154 to 162, and your average drops under 400, and you're not that next hitter to hit 400. You hit 398.
Right.
You know, so records to me, they're statistical representations of, they're more benchmarks than they are of importance. Like, I can look at a guy's season and know, because I watched all the games, like I can look at Carson Wentz's season last year and know that that was one of Carson Wentz's more impressive seasons. Statistically speaking, you know, he was great, but he wasn't on the lines of, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But you look at what happened. Carson Wentz may have single-handedly put the Eagles in the playoffs.
He did.
You know, so you balance the two out. Stats are great, but they're not end-all, be-all for me.
I agree. I totally agree. And they are to baseball people, and that's fine. More baseball than any other sport. So I don't know where people are going to. Like, if there's a 400 hitter this year, does it count? Does it matter?
Yes.
To me, it counts.
I think it counts.
Sure, it counts.
Well, and that's why, to me, the validity of the entire league, and the validity of all of these leagues, for that matter, is 100% intact.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am not, the way that I look at it as a fan, and not from our position, I look at it strictly as a fan. If one of the Philadelphia teams wins a championship, I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, you remember 2020 when the Sixers came back? Yeah, you know, that was, you know, whatever. It's a championship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how it looks.
Right.
You know, so for me, leagues are totally valid. Championships are valid. Records are valid. If a guy has a zero ERA this season, good for him. So to me, the leagues are what the leagues are.
Agreed. No, I totally agree. I know people will be gung-ho about putting asterisks here or there, but it is what it is. Listen, everybody has the same opportunity in 60 games.
They'll do that until their team wins the championship.
Of course. Then yep. Then it's real.
And I think what Tali said stands out to me the most, and that's exactly my thought process too, especially in the leagues that haven't started yet, namely Major League Baseball, because football, we're under the pretense they're going to play normally. If you've got a 60-game schedule, you can't afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1.6% doesn't sound like a lot, but 1.6% of your games is one game, right? In a 60-game schedule. It's less than a percentage point for a 162-game season. You can't get swept.
Right.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Every game means that much more, so maybe it'll be even more interesting. I think it will. To me, 162 games, a little long in the tooth. He's Tyler Zulli. I'm Joe Stajak. It is almost 2 o'clock here at 97.5. The Fanatic Steve Kyle is coming up at 2:10. And we'll be right back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.